Welcome to the Enlightening Motherhood Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Hamblin.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley Schultz.
As moms who are currently in the thick of raising kids with big emotions, we know firsthand how challenging their intense behaviors can be.
And that a little support can go a long way.
This is a non-judgmental community that was created for you or any mom who's feeling overwhelmed, frustrated, or stressed.
Each week, either Emily or I will share our experiences, offer practical tips, and interview experts in the field so you can be empowered to help your children with their challenges.
Join us as we help you enlighten motherhood. Hello, everyone. This is Emily. Welcome to another episode of the Enlightening Motherhood Podcast. Super excited to dig in today and talk about disrespect, defiance, sass, drama, resistance, pushback, a lot of the things that are really deep triggers for me when my children have those behaviors. It's fun recording right now. I'm officially moved into our new house. Our whole family's officially moved into the new house. And as I shared last week, that was a really stressful experience. We still do have some stress and overwhelm with settling into the new house, finding our new groove, and now we need to fix up and sell the old house. So still a lot going on, but I'm super grateful. I'm hoping the echo's not too bad right now. One of the reasons that we purchased this new house was that the master bedroom actually had two walk-in closets, and our old house didn't have any walk-in closets, so we didn't really need that much space. But one of the walk-in closets is big enough for a standing desk and a walking pad, and it has a window. So we're planning to convert this into my little office. I'm super excited to not have an office that's part of my bedroom, to have a little bit more separation between my bedroom and my business, and to have such a dedicated space to it too. I'm excited. I have so many feelings with this move. I'm so grateful for our house, and yet I still have a lot of feelings for our old house where we live, which was a wonderful house and such a great neighborhood, and lots of feelings going on here, which is good for us, right? To have a chance to feel those feelings. In any case, let's jump into today's topic. So I wanted to share with you a little paradigm shift for perhaps another reason for you to consider as to why your child might be acting in a way that's perceived as disrespectful, defiant, etc. Just to help give this some context and to help prepare us for the thoughts, it's always helpful to have some examples. Here's some examples of what disrespect, defiance, etc. might look like in a home. So defiance could look like the following. Imagine it's bedtime. It's been one of those days. You're exhausted. You are so ready for your kids to be in bed so you can have a little bit of alone time before you go to bed yourself. Or maybe you're just ready to fall into bed and you're waiting for them to get into bed first. So say to your kid, "Sweetheart, it's time to get ready for bed." And we're hoping that they'll just maybe nod in agreement or say, "Okay, Mom," and hop right up and start to get ready for bed. But instead, they turn to you and they puff out their chest a little bit and say, "No way. I'm not tired. You can't make me sleep. I am not getting ready for bed." Or maybe you know that they heard you and they just completely ignore you. The ignoring one is a little bit easier for me to handle, but when they completely defy and show resistance to me in the moment, that is a much harder trigger for me. It might also look like, let's move to dinner, because we usually eat, and this is a common example in many homes of people that I've worked with. Maybe you made dinner, you're super excited for it, you're really hungry, you spent all this time putting it together, and you tell your kid, "Dinner's ready, time to come to the table." And maybe you even were letting them watch TV while you were making dinner just so you could make it in peace, right? So you say to them, "Okay, let's turn off the TV, come to the table." but they're glued to that TV. And they, without even looking at you, they say right away, "Ugh, leave me alone. Just stop. I'm not even hungry. I don't want what you made." Does that ever kind of sting a little bit? Yeah. Apparently I'm sharing some personal stuff here too. It might also look like when it's time to clean up. You ever asked your child to clean up their toys and you think you've asked in a kind and politeful way? Politeful? Polite, respectful way. And your kid does not return the polite, respectful manner of speaking back to you. They might turn to you and say, or not even turn, bother to turn to you and just say, "Why? I don't want to." Or, "No, Mom, you do it." Okay, so these are three different examples of what disrespect might look like. I could probably get stronger, but I'm trying to stay general with ones that I'm hoping you can relate to. It's a time when you've asked your kid to do something or to stop doing something. And not only do they not do or stop doing what you've requested, but they might even give pushback and tell you that they're not going to, or say something that you find insulting or offensive in that process. This is something that's really hard for me to handle. Do you notice something else in many of those examples too? The fact that we're tired at the end of the night, we're hungry right before the meal. This disrespect and this defiance and this resistance, the sass, it often comes at times when our own emotions are a little bit dysregulated or where we're set up for that emotional dysregulation ourselves. It can be a really challenging thing to handle. So something that has really helped me a lot, well, there's a lot of thoughts that I have on disrespect and defiance, why it's happening, how to handle it. We have whole lessons on this in Emotionally Healthy Families. If you're in there, make sure you go and check them out in modules 2 and in modules 3. We have videos there on this. But for those of you that are not in there, and even if you are, this is something that I wanted to add in addition to all of the lessons there. And that is considering this from a sensory experience. So the more that I learn about neuroscience and the more that I come to understand our nervous systems, the more I understand how much of what is happening in terms of what we're doing, our experience, and what our children are doing is actually a sensory experience. It's a nervous system response. And there's a lot that affects our nervous system. Our past, of course, affects it. Our thoughts can affect it. A signal directly from our body, for example, hangry. When I'm hangry, my nervous system feels it. When I'm tired, my nervous system feels it. Also, when I'm having unhelpful thoughts, when I'm telling myself stories, when I'm listening to society telling me the way that things ought to be, and I think I need to measure up to that. And, you know, all of the things. There's a lot that goes into that. But in the perspective of this, of the nervous system being a big part of our experience, what if we were to consider our children's disrespect, resistance, pushback as a tool that our child is currently using to release stress? What if we saw it as their current coping mechanism to handle the nervous system dysregulation that they're feeling? Now, in many of these examples, right, like bedtime and dinner, we'll just use those because those are clear ones. We're tired, we're feeling worn out. And before dinner, we're hungry, we're busy, we've had a long day, we want a break. What if our kids are feeling the same? They're probably tired too. They're probably hungry too. And this is something, by the way, blows my mind. I'm like, okay, you're tired, so go to bed. You're hungry, so just go eat, right? It's so easy for me to think that and say that to my kids, but I need to tell you, last night, I was so tired and I didn't go to bed early. I probably could have, but I didn't. I was listening to an audiobook. I was riveted. I wanted to do some self-care, put lotion and stuff on. Anyways, I went to bed later, even though I was so tired, and now I'm tired today. So it's something I'm going to work on, getting more sleep. That's something in my personal journey. But I think if we step back a little bit, we can see like, okay, so I could see why my kid might actually be feeling some nervous system dysregulation or some stress in the moment, that they are being defiant or behaving in a way that I'm interpreting as defiant or as disrespectful, sassy, etc. So it's their current go-to tool to handle that stress as a way to release that stress. They release it by lashing out, by resisting, by pushing back. How does that feel to you to consider that that could maybe be true? For me, personally, it doesn't mean that I don't continue to work with my kids. I also believe that our children really need to have a parent who can, in a very loving and kind way, maintain boundaries. Maintaining boundaries helps our children feel safe. There are healthy ways to hold boundaries. There's unhealthy ways to hold them. Sometimes people use punishments and call them boundaries, and that's not actually super helpful. But, you know, I could do a whole workshop on boundaries. So I'm not saying that we can't have boundaries. I definitely think that we should, and they should be healthy, careful boundaries anchored in the idea of discipline, which is not punishment. Discipline shares the root with the word disciple, student, right? And so along with needing those loving, healthy boundaries, our kids also do need an ability to release that stress that certain hormones are causing in their body. They need more help developing the tools to not only handle that stress, but also recognize that it's there in the first place. And quite frankly, I know a lot of adults that need help recognizing this too. I know a lot of adults, sometimes myself would be included into that, that don't recognize when that stress is built up to the point that they're about to explode. And these are adults with fully developed adult brains. Children have underdeveloped brains, especially in the area of emotional regulation, risk management, logical thinking. That's not developed until their mid-20s. So if they don't have the same tools as adults, and in fact, if we see adults that don't yet have those tools, let's meet our kids where they're at. Instead of seeing this as something that we need to punish away to teach them a lesson, let's see it as a child needing help developing tools that they do not yet have. So of course, that leads us to the question, well, how do I teach it to my kid? This is definitely going to be unique to each child. In Emotionally Intelligent Kids, my $7 hub full of resources to teach your kids emotional intelligence, phase one is full of resources to help you understand where your child's at on their journey, their preferences, etc., and helps you to meet them where they're at, because every single child is unique. Now, once you've better understood where your unique child is, there are different tools that you can use. And I will say, sometimes you'll find a parenting tool. I brought one up in our Emotionally Healthy Families group coaching call today that was like a light switch, like boom, it made a difference. The light was on in our family, and that tool was like an instant game changer. Oftentimes, though, there are tools that are more like physical therapy, right? Like maybe you go because your shoulders hurt, and you might go the first time and it's not actually better instantly. It's going to take a lot of follow-up and a lot of practice for your shoulder to stop hurting. You might be able to relieve the pain temporarily with like Tylenol or ibuprofen, and then it goes away, but it comes back as soon as that wears off. You're going to have to go to the root of the source of that pain if you really want to have lasting change. And that's how a lot of the tools that we have as parents and that we're teaching our kids are going to be. Some might be instant and like, oh my goodness, that helped all of a sudden. And others are going to be, you know, this is going to take a little bit of time, but we're going to keep working at it. And we're going to see the difference that it makes as we consistently don't give up. And I really do believe that as much as a few intentional minutes a week can make a huge difference for your child, especially if you have a healthy mindset behind what you're doing. So let's replace that idea of teaching your kids a lesson or punishing them so that they learn that they can't be disrespectful to realizing that that disrespect is there, perhaps, because that's their current coping mechanism to handle the stress that they're feeling at that time. And let's meet them there, come up with tools that can help them during those times when they do tend to be disrespectful or, you know, behave in a manner that we interpret as disrespect, and help them develop more tools. So there's some tools that we're using, right? There's other tools that we can help to teach them to also handle those hard times. They're both going to come together, and that's going to help us when we do the work on our part. We work on our mindset, we work on finding effective parenting tools, and then we help our children. That's where a lot of magic happens in our homes. Okay, so instead of just telling them what not to do, don't be disrespectful, don't be defiant, don't tell me no, don't refuse to do what I tell you. Let's replace it with what to do. What can we do in those times when you're feeling a lot of stress, when your nervous system's dysregulated, when you don't really want to do what I'm asking you to do, or where you really just are having a hard time in general? Maybe they do really want to eat lunch, but they're just having a hard time in general. And that's the way that they release their stress, is by telling you that they hate the lunch that you made, even though they might really like the lunch that you made. It's just in that moment, they're feeling stress, and that's the way that they express it because they don't have the skills yet to do something else. So instead of just focusing on what we don't want our kids to do, let's focus more on what we want them to do and empower us with healthy mindsets, effective tools, and our kids with more abilities to handle those tough situations. Thank you so much for listening. Can't wait to hear your takeaways on this and to see if this has helped you at all in your parenting. I hope you have a beautiful week. Wish there were a shortcut to help your child develop better tools to handle their big emotions in a healthier way? Well, there is. Introducing Emotionally Intelligent Kids, a central hub full of new resources each month designed to elevate your child's emotional intelligence in just minutes each week. And the best part? Right now, you can get instant access to all of these resources for just $7 a month. Visit www.enlighteningmotherhood.com/kids. For all the details. I can't wait to welcome you in.